94. Improv. With the drone on its back in the alley, the squashed circle display looked to Netherton like something Rainey might have taken him to see at the Tate, its lower half filled with nothing but the luminously featureless San Francisco night sky above it, the upper half a high-resolution night-vision close-up of the pavement beneath it, greenly glowing.
"Where are those men?" he asked.
Connor replaced the drone's feed with four others, evidently from the small aerial units he'd mentioned. The feed in the upper left quadrant was stationary, directly above the container's square roof, straight down. Beside the container, the now seemingly limbless drone might be mistaken for an equipment case. A smaller, paler rectangle tucked into the angle of the cube's rear wall in the adjacent building would be the charger. The upper right quadrant offered what he judged to be the same view from a greater altitude. The alley, a relatively dark connector between parallel streets, both more brightly lit, the one nearest the container wider than the other. Both lower quadrants were livelier, each from a camera in motion, each above one of those two streets.
"Lower left," said Connor. "White van. Just dropped two new guys on Tennessee near the alley. Headed out of frame."
The camera turned to keep the van in frame.
"Bring an R2 around a third. Maybe more. Hope not."
"What will you do when they get here?" Verity asked.
"Improv," Connor said. "Slow them down while you and the girl get out and run for third. Virgil's almost here to pick you up. We'll distract them for you. Black four-door Mercedes. Be ready."
The angle of the lower left feed swung down, revealing two figures entering the alley from Tennessee Street, walking toward the container. As the two drew near, Connor toggled back to the feed from the drone, Netherton watching as they loomed into view. One frowned, looking down. He stopped, the display partially capturing a gesture that halted the other as well.
"Dude," said Connor, "what have you got here, huh?"
The one who'd first noticed the drone, his right hand now out of sight inside his open coat, a manual phone in his left, seemed to be capturing images or video. He put the phone to his ear.
"Did they see that?"
he asked, the drone's microphones picking him up, his accent American but less pronounced than Connor's. A pause. He leaned forward slightly.
"Like it's painted to look like carbon fiber."
Pause.
"Okay."
He lowered the phone. Netherton watched him step forward past the drone, followed by the other man, who squinted dubiously down as he passed. Then both were out of frame.
"Want us behind the couch?" Verity asked, puzzling Netherton.
"Wouldn't hurt," said Connor. "Angle it between the door and where the little table is."
"Help me with this,"
said Verity, speaking, Netherton assumed, to the followers girl. Netherton watched as the drone's left arm partially unfolded. From its narrow wrist tip, a thin black rod emerged, then executed an unnervingly biological-looking wriggle before lunging after the man around the container's corner. A camera, Netherton remembered, as its feed opened. Beyond the backs of the two men who discovered the drone, the windowless white van swung into the alley's entrance, pulling up about 3 meters in front of the container, two more men emerging from the passenger side door. A third remained behind the wheel.
"They were here before," Netherton said. "And none of them prior," Connor said, "including the driver. Time we got this on the road."
The feed from the black tentacle shrank, replaced by the fixed aerial view in the upper right quadrant. Netherton watched the drone's right arm unfold, lifting its torso off the pavement.
"Ladies," Connor said, "start your engines. Out of there when I say go. Try to hold your breath till you get to the street. Stay away from the white van parked in front of the cube. Don't get caught. Ready?"
"Ready," said Verity.
"Go," Connor said.